This is an ABC podcast.
You're listening to Sisters Let's Talk with Natasha Metten on ABC Radio Australia.
Family planning, not everyone is knowledgeable about it. Things like gynae issues. You know, not every woman knows that there is something that they can go out there to check out for their health, especially cervical cancer screening and so forth.
They think it's normal for them to experience some sort of discomfort. They are not really well-versed or educated on how to tell if it's actually like pain that they need to be concerned about. I would say any sort of pain during sex is not normal.
Cast your mind back to your younger years. When did you first learn about womanhood, about menstruation and sex, and childbirth? For many girls in the Pacific, these topics are so taboo that their mothers are not the ones to explain them. But understanding sex is vital for so many reasons. If you don't know about sex, you can't know about sexually transmitted infections and unwanted pregnancies. So how can we encourage people to have more open conversations about such things? I'm Natasha Metten. Sisters, let's talk about sex. In Papua New Guinea, there is a program being run to encourage women to talk to each other about sexual reproductive health. It's called the Mary Leader Project, and it's a research program run by James Cook University and the Pacific Adventist University. Rachel Tombe is a senior nurse lecturer in the School of Health Sciences at the Pacific Adventist University.
Mary Leader Project basically is a community-based tailored training program for women leaders in the village or, let's say, peri-urban communities in the cities. We mainly develop this small module or the curriculum just to make sure we give something nice to them, especially on the information on the sexual and reproductive health to women out there in the villages and communities. It's just to empower them of what they already know, or maybe for some, they don't know anything about sexual and reproductive health. So basically, we tailored this program for them.
And how did it begin?
It actually branched off a research study. A study was conducted on how male circumcision for HIV prevention affected women in Papua New Guinea. And when we actually conducted the research, women actually pointed out that they needed more information on sexual health. So that was way back in 2012-13. Mm-hmm. Then we decided, actually, the researcher was Associate Professor Michelle McLaren from James Cook University. It was an area of study, so I actually assisted in this area of study. So we came up with the idea that how about we, you know, give back to the women of what they requested. So in 2018, we started a little training program for them. And we piloted the program in 2018.
And Rachel, talking about sex can be very taboo. Did it surprise you that women were asking for more information?
Yeah, a lot. You know, for me as a lecturer, it's a day-to-day lecturing to, you know, the nursing students. So it's part of the within the comfort zone. But when you go out to women, it's a taboo, especially in a church. It's like double taboo. Mm. More culture, yeah. And more church. So, but interestingly, I found out that women were already knowledgeable about all this, and they sort of like saw this as a avenue where they can discuss more. They were openly discussing issues about sex. I think it was something that really, you know, affected. It affects them at the community level. So for someone to start off the conversation, they came in loud and clear.
It was a conversation that needed to happen. And what topics were discussed in the training?
It's for the women leaders. So basically, we train them on their roles, what they will be expecting. Because of their leadership role, they will be helping not only women and young girls, but they will also help men and children out there. And we also inform them on, you know, the problem-solving approach techniques. So basically, this framework taught them how to identify any issue, sexual health or reproductive health issues, and then how they can strategize to assist the women or themselves, and then how they implement it, and then also to see how they can evaluate whether the strategy had they used was effective or not. So basically, we taught them on the practice framework for problem resolutions. And we also informed them of, you know, the communication skills. Mm. That was something that they were appreciating more.
The course also includes issues around gender and sexuality, sexual health, and anatomy.
Most women were amazed. They don't really know their own anatomies. Mm-hmm. And even the structures as well. So it was amazing. We captured that in the topic. We also informed them of the statistics of sexual and reproductive health that is affecting women in the country, and also a bit on most on sexually transmitted infection, family planning, safe motherhood, more about antenatal, childbirth, postnatal care, and also the gynecological issues that women face every day and in the surroundings. And then we also informed them, or we discussed any conflict resolution process they have in the community and where they can help or where they can get themselves involved in that areas so they can work together with the communities. And also we inform them of the safe referral pathway if there's anything that they need to refer, especially within the in areas of policing and healthcare and any areas where they can refer victims that required to. And then we also assisted them on the self-care elements that they can help themselves, because by the time they will be listening to every, you know, people's concern and issues and worries, and, you know, they need to have some sort of outlet as well. So some self-care elements were in the topic as well. And then, yeah, I think basically that was it. And then we had a mini graduation ceremony. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was conducted for 4 days. So you could see all those topics are quite big, but we had to minimize and give them what was appropriate at their level.
Yes. And why is it important to have these conversations?
I think it's important in twofold. One is, you know, for those of us who are knowledgeable and skillful in any areas of our own expertise, we think that everyone knows what they're doing. But I realize that it is, it's not that case. We need to help empower others, other women folks out there. We need to help them out. So they become the hands and legs and eyes for those people out there in the community.
As a Papua New Guinean woman, how did you feel initially about training women to have these conversations about sex?
Oh, it was as I've said earlier, I took it for granted that everyone knows it. You know, especially the university graduates, you think that they know it. But then you realize that they really don't know what they are doing. Like the family planning, not everyone is knowledgeable about it. Things like gynae issues. You know, not every woman knows that there is something that they can go out there to, you know, check out for their health, especially cervical cancer screening and so forth. And to have this information given to them and, you know, seeing them appreciating this, it sort of like gave me this kind of feeling where, why are you wasting yourself out there? You should be helping more out there in the community. Yeah, so that's the kind of feeling that came towards me. And you could see it in the women's eyes. They really appreciated it.
Was it challenging to engage the church to support the project?
No, with this, like, this project is more a university initiative one. And then we are under church as well. So, I mean, we do have our own operation here. But because it's an Adventist institution, it was easy for us to ask the church on the ground, the president and the secretaries in the Central Papal Conference, they call it, for us to go out to their church and church pastors. So we had to get information, I mean, approval letters from them. But because it's within the same line of church, it was easy. It's easy for us. So our aim is to start with every churches from within Port Moresby, calling Central Papua Conference, and then we'll go out to other provinces.
Mm.
And I think from our church, it would be easy, but we're expecting to go out as well to other denomination. It's not more tailored for the SDA church alone.
How vital is the church now in rolling out the project?
It is very important because one of the departments the church has is the family life department. They do host such program, but, you know, because of the taboo and all this, it's not openly discussed. So when we go through other departments like the women ministry leaders, I mean ministry, that's another department where the women folks are there to, you know, do some enrichment programs for themselves. We're planning to go into that area of the departments in the church. So I think it would be easier if we go through that women ministry department to roll out this.
One of your trainers was a man. What was it like to have a man in the room talking about sexual reproductive health?
Mr. Kelly Brown, yes, is a sexual health consultant at working with DFED, but working for the PNG National Health Department. Yes, it was so nice. Because it's a sexual health nurse, it really comes down well in training women. And before he came in for the two occasion, I informed the women that even though he's an expatriate, he can speak Pidgin, and he also knows every conditions about the women's, you know, health. So openly, they need to, you know, discuss this out. So for Kelly, it was easy because of his role.
Mm.
He openly discussed this, and the women were more attentive to Kel than any other trainers that we had on the ground. They were looking forward to Kel's training because he was a man and he was talking in men's perspective as well. So it gave them two ways to see themselves. So that was something nice.
Good on him. What have the outcomes been for women in the villages who receive this peer-based education?
That's a good question. For the first one, because those women were spouses of students in the university and they live on the campus, we actually evaluated some of the information that we gave, and it was amazing. Some of the outcome that they said was they never talked to their husband or male children of anything related to sex, reproductive health, and all this. But after the training, they were able to communicate well. And that was something great. And we learned from that research, the first one, women, when they spread the message out to their husbands, their partners, the male folks requested if we could run sexual health programs as well. So what happened was Kel came, we invited Kel to come in just for 1 or 2 day session, and that was it. But we need to build up a male-focused kind of sexual health and reproductive training curriculums as well. So that was the impact that we had. There were many others. They said women were open to discuss issues. Women were keen to know more about what they had learned, meaning women who never attended. But they heard that these women attended the program, so they asked about it. And these women who attended were there to help them or to inform them of what they've learned, and they were, I think that's how they spread the message across to them.
Rachel, was there anything like this when you were growing up?
Oh, no, there wasn't anything.
Mm.
My mom couldn't even tell me what will happen when you reach puberty, especially in the menstrual you know, the first menarche. You know, when I think about this, I was like, man, how in the world my mom never told me about this? And I learned this when I went into high school and from friends who had already had the menarche, you know, the first menstrual cycle. That's how strong it was. They couldn't even, my mom couldn't even talk about sex, marriage, menarche, childbirth. Even childbirth, she would tell me that the babies come out from the umbilical, you know, cord. And I was like believing that all along, up until I went to high school. And then I learned that, no, there's something called reproductive health. And, you know, you have to learn. And the childbirth is not that way. It comes out the other way. So, it was quite tough for me. And there wasn't any internet as well, you know. And you can't, you know, learn all this. And people were very quiet about everything. It was so sacred. But I think, man, these days, the girls and women are so lucky, so fortunate. But still, we don't have that many people who know about all these things. Yeah.
Exactly. You've mentioned the internet. Would you rather they're learning from peers than the internet?
The way I see is the peer mentoring is the most powerful tool because you tend to give very informed, research-based information. Whereas internet, yeah, you can get something from the Google Scholar, but the information might not be right.
How is a project like Mary Leader likely to have a positive impact on gender-based violence?
Yeah, I think it would have, let me say, not really direct. It will have indirect impact. And slowly, I think it should go there. You know, the communication skills that we have learned, women have said we've learned a lot because we are always, you know, our communication is the one that makes our men to eat us or to, that causes violence. So that I saw that it was something that they learned. So we said, if you think that communication is one of the way that makes you to get your men's, you know, a slap on your face or your body, you need to relook at this. So I think communication skills is very important with this training. And if this can be passed on to the women out in the settlements and the villages, it will reduce sexual violence amongst women. Also, women leaders, we have taught them how to refer those ones who are in an abusive relationship to come out and refer them to safe places. So that would be another thing that would help these women, victims especially. Mm-hmm. And also when we have programs like this, it creates more awareness for young women to seek help quickly. I think what the women point out in the discussion was that it's just a lack of communication and lack of understanding about all these issues. Mm-hmm. So if we have a peer-based, you know, training as we are doing now, it could indirectly, you know, resolve a lot of issues that are going on.
How hopeful are you that it will address issues like STIs, rape, and even gynecological issues that women don't always address?
I think it will help a lot because when we were teaching the STIs, women were surprised. Because they never know most of that, different types of STIs and the illness, gyne cases and all this. So when we taught them about all these things, they were like, wow. So they can see how they can help prevent such cases. So if we give out more knowledge on STIs, gyne problem, family planning, even rapes, we teach them with all the women nowadays. Someone in the community has got raped. You need to, you know, take them to the hospital quick as possible so they can give the help that the hospitals would give. So those kind of things there, because these are the Mary leaders at the forefront. So coming up with all this knowledge and how to help themselves, how to help the others, I think it's something that would go a long way for the women. And I believe in this. I believe in, you know, small changes. You make start from the community and then it comes down. Most of the time we are up there shoving information down. Like for myself, I'm trying to teach the nurses to go out there and help the patients out there. Likewise, we need to teach the women down there so they can help women in the village. Because we actually train them to become trainers of that curriculum. So they're the ones that will train their own village women out there, not us getting there.
That's Rachel Tombe from the Mary Leader Project. She is a senior nurse lecturer in the School of Health Sciences at Pacific Adventist University.
This is Sisters Let's Talk with Natasha Metten on ABC Radio Australia.
When women don't have conversations about sex, it can be harder for them to know what is and isn't normal. For example, it is not normal for sex to be painful. It can be a sign of illness, or it can be something that is easily resolved, like vaginal dryness. Primrose Famane is the youth nursing officer in charge of PNG Family Health Association. She spends her days speaking to women about reproductive health. In her experience, women are uncomfortable talking about the pain they experience during sex.
Mostly they have to be prompted before they admit that, yes, they have been experiencing pain like during sex and all that. So if it's just like, if it's just like the beginning of them experiencing that, they do not talk about it often. Mostly it's towards when it gets worse and they start experiencing like other symptoms. That's when they feel like they need to talk about it, so they talk about it. But if it's just like just on and off and all that, they do not talk about that like at all, unless they start experiencing other symptoms that is more serious or that is worrisome for them, then they talk about it. Yeah.
When the only issue is pain during sex, many women think it is normal, something they simply have to put up with.
I think because of the way our female body is built, they just think that when there's deeper penetration, then they think it's normal for them to experience some sort of discomfort during that. So they are not really well-versed or educated on how to tell if the discomfort is normal or if it's abnormal, if it's actually like pain that they need to be concerned about. I would say any sort of pain during sex is not normal. During or sometimes it's after sex. It is not normal. And well, women shouldn't consider that as a normal part of them being sexually intimate, is feeling pain during or after sex, because that is not normal.
Some types of pain can be addressed without the need to see a nurse or a doctor. But some causes can be very serious.
Some sort of like discomfort, maybe due to say less lubrication or no lubrication at all and all that. It wouldn't be something to be really concerned about if it's due to like lubrication and all that. But if it's just pain, any form of pain during and after sex, it's definitely something that we should take into consideration and probably seek help on. It may be due to STI, sexually transmitted infection. They may cause painful sex. Sometimes there's not enough lubrication. And yeah, dryness can also cause painful sex. And early onset of cervical cancer may also cause pain during sex.
Sometimes being nervous or anxious can cause painful sex.
It is said that like a woman has to be psychologically prepared before having sex. Yeah, you have to be prepared. And if you do not give like your full consent, or if it's, you are coerced into having sex, then yes, that may also lead to pain during sex.
Some of the treatments, like lubrication or being more mentally prepared, requires support from a partner. But it can be difficult for women to speak to their partner about how painful the sex is.
It is a sensitive subject, yeah, for especially women to talk about. And even talking about it with their partners, Like individual guys may react differently and may take it differently. So some may be concerned about it. Some may probably try to blame the woman. Say, oh, you're probably sleeping around. That's why you're feeling pain. Or some will just probably just brush it aside, especially for the for men who are abusive in relationships. I would say they do not really care if whether the woman is uncomfortable during sex, whether the woman is enjoying sex. For them, it is like, as long as they are satisfied, they are okay with it. So they do not really take into consideration how the woman is feeling during sex. So for the partners that are understanding, that are more educated, I should say, yes, they tend to seek help with their partners. But for the men who are more into, like, who have more of a traditional mindset that women should submit to them and that they have control over their women, they tend to blame the women for having discomfort during sex. And so most of the time it's just the women that are affected and that try to seek help.
So if you do seek help from a nurse or doctor because you have pain during sex, what solutions can they offer?
Pain is just like a symptom of like an underlying condition. It may be like a symptom to probably STIs. So in order to really treat or to eliminate pain during sex, you have to be treated for what the underlying condition is.
Primrose has this important message for women who feel uncomfortable having conversations about sex.
It is something that like we really need to talk about. It is not something to be ashamed of because everyone goes through that. And health facilities are there to help women talk about these issues, especially like for in Papua New Guinea, we have Family Health Association and possibly Maristops that talk about sexual reproductive health issues. So the health facilities are there. It is not something to be ashamed of. It is not something that you are going through alone as a woman. So So basically I would say health facilities are there. We are here to help you. So if you're experiencing any symptoms or any pain during sex or any other symptoms relating to sexual reproductive health, please seek help before it gets worse.
That's Primrose Famane, the youth nursing officer in charge of PNG Family Health Association. Thank you to my guests today, Primrose Famane and Rachel Tumbe. I know it's not easy, especially if you didn't grow up having these conversations, but talking about sex, especially to your daughters, can truly be life-saving. Thank you so much for joining me, Natasha Metten, for Sisters Let's Talk on ABC Radio Australia, a weekly show by Pacific Island Women for Pacific Island Women, where we get together to talk about the issues that are important to us. If you've missed an episode of the show, catch up on our podcast. Just search for Sisters Let's Talk wherever you get your podcasts or key us into your favorite search engine. Sisters Let's Talk is presented by me, Natasha Metten. Our producers are Kim Lester and Namila Benson, and Fale Angafulu Inga Stunzna is our executive producer. Sisters Let's Talk is produced on Darumbal, Yagara and Turrbal land and the lands of the Kulin Nation people. We pay respects to elders past and present.